You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we are going to continue our conversation on Isaiah chapter 42, in which we hear the Father declare, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." We've got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Picking up at verse 5. "Thus says Yahweh Elohim, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." Now, with these words, we are told that God himself is the source of life. This is what he does. This is his proper work, to give breath to people who dwell upon the earth, to give spirit to those who walk in it, to give life. Now, in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Peter is proclaiming and preaching the fulfillment of the promises of God, in which God declared, "Behold, my servant," Peter tells us the servant, of course, is Christ. And Peter says this in Acts chapter 17, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of both heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Of course, in that passage, in that sermon that Peter is preaching, he is making a contrast between the earthly temple in Jerusalem that has now been filled with idolatry, false worship, and, on the other hand, the true temple in the incarnation, the one who came in flesh and blood, the one who died, and in 3 days he rose again in the temple of his body. And that body, of course, is not made by hands. It's not a man-made way to approach God. And so Peter is using this contrast between the difference in man-made, self-chosen forms of worship and God's appointed Messiah. That the hand that creates is the hand that redeems, and this is the hand of God, not human hands. So the one who created all things, the one who stretched out all things, the one who spread out the earth and all that comes upon it, has now come to mankind in order to redeem and to save. Now, going back to Isaiah chapter 42 at verse 6, now we want to make a note here that here at verse 6, the Father is now addressing the Son. When Isaiah chapter 42 opened up in verse 1, you had the Father addressing the people of God, that they would hear, that they would see with their ears, they would behold his servant. Now, starting at verse 6 and 7, you have the Father directing these words to the servant. And the Father declares, "I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness." So now you have the Father speaking to the Son. The Son is called by the Father. This is not like the false prophets who were not called by God, but went, even though they were not sent, and they spoke their own word, not the word of the Father. And so in John chapter 7, Jesus declares, he says, hey, the one who speaks on his own authority, he seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. In other words, the Son has been sent by the Father. The Father has called the Son in righteousness, and the words that the Son speaks are the words that the Father has given him to speak. Now, he's been called in righteousness. We'll see this later on in Isaiah chapter 45. In Yahweh, all the offspring of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. To be justified is to be declared righteous. By the knowledge of the suffering servant, many shall be declared righteous. That is, justified. Or in Isaiah 54, we hear that this is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is from me, declares Yahweh. Again, the Son has been sent. The servant is the Christ. He is the one who comes in righteousness in order to bring righteousness. He is the one who comes to make all things right. Now, in this passage, it says, I will take you by the hand and keep you. Now, earlier in verse 4, we heard the words of Isaiah 42 saying, he will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. So again, earlier in chapter 42, the Father is speaking to the hearer. And the Father is declaring that my servant will not grow faint. He will not become discouraged. He will establish justice in the earth. And now the Father, the hypostasis of the Father, is speaking directly to the hypostasis of the Son. And he's telling the Son, I will take you by the hand and I will keep you. Now, Cyril of Alexandria, when he was commenting on Isaiah chapter 42, he's trying to explain to us the way in which the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are teaching us about the coming Christ. In this way, Cyril notes that here he once again is expressing himself as if he were one like us, insofar as he became man. In some ways, he gives the impression, on the account of his humanity, of being empowered by the Father, that he is humbled, that he empties himself, that he would, could possibly be discouraged or grow faint because of his human nature, but we are assured he won't. He will not grow faint. He will not be discouraged. The Father is declaring that he will keep him to the end. And so Cyril's just noting that this is this human way that he's speaking as one who is with us, like us, who in the weakness of our human flesh, he is one who eats, one who sleeps, one who becomes tired. But yet we are assured he will not faint or be discouraged until he does what he is sent to do. So in this passage, as the Father is speaking to the Son, the Father is declaring to the Son that you will be a covenant for the people and a light for the nations, that he will be light from light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, that this is no ordinary man, but he will be the light of the world. He will be the covenant, the testament. And of course, we see this most clearly in the Lord's Supper, in the institution of the New Testament, in which he gives to us his very body and his very blood, the cup that is filled with the blood of the New Testament. He is the testament that has been given to the peoples. But notice again that he is a light for the nations. So that in particular, once again, we are taught about the conversion of the Gentiles. The Christ came to restore all humanity, not just one section, not just one corner of the globe, but the entire world itself. He will be a light to the nations, as of course Simeon says when he picks up the Christ child in his arms, that he will bring those who are in darkness into his marvelous light, that he will open eyes to see. Now notice how the passage goes on, that the Father declares the Son that he will open, you will open eyes that are blind. You will bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from those prisoners who sit in darkness. Now, of course, we see this fulfilled in all the healing miracles that Jesus gives. That when Jesus heals the blind, their eyes are being made whole once again. This is the restoration of creation. So Christ comes as the light. He's calling people out of darkness. Of course, that could either be Gentiles or even Jews who are taught to act like Gentiles. That is, those who do not have God's word, who have been taken into captivity by the darkness and deceit of doctrines of demons. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle has this same kind of imagery in mind when he speaks, he preaches and teaches to the baptized and said, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So that when we hear about this darkness, this is the deceit of the devil, the one who tries to keep us out of God's light and God's life. And so this is a releasing from idolatry, that is, false worship, man-made ways to approach God, self-chosen forms of worship to bring upon supposedly one's own holiness. But these things cannot do what they promise to do. Only the promise of the Messiah can bring the restoration of creation and the justification of the sinners. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 42, picking up at verse 8. "I am Yahweh, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Now we want to notice here that when Yahweh is speaking, he says, "I am Yahweh, that is my name, and I give my glory to no other." This is the Father speaking to the Son. He gives his glory to the one being addressed according to his human nature. Of course, before all creations, ever since the beginning of time, throughout eternity, the Son has had and shared the same glory with the Father, for he is God of God, true God of true God. But here we're talking about this language of the incarnation, that the Father is speaking to the Son according to his human nature. And we'll see Jesus speak to the Father in the flesh in John chapter 17. In which Jesus prays to the Father and says, "Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." So the Father is speaking to the Son, saying, "I give my glory to no other person." Now, according to the human nature, this glory will be made manifest in the resurrection from the dead and in the ascension. So both in the bodily resurrection and the bodily ascension. The Apostle Paul comments on this in Philippians chapter 2, saying, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now notice here that Jesus Christ is given the name that is above every name. That name, of course, is Yahweh. So to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is to confess that Jesus Christ is Yahweh. And this is done to the glory of the Father. Now later on, we will note that this passage from Philippians is a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 45. But here, we're still looking at Isaiah 42, and we're not quite there yet. But notice that Christ is designated as Lord and God among the nations, that he has the glory of the Father. He is co-equal with the Father. Again, the Father does not give his glory to anyone else. To give God the glory is to praise him for who he is and what he does. But this praise will not be given to any carved idols or created things. And so the Father says, I give my glory to no one else, nothing else, no other, only to the Son, who is uncreated. He is begotten of the Father from all eternity. So the Father does not give his glory to some kind of an image out of the imagination of the fallen heart of man, but instead, he declares clearly that he gives his glory to the Son, who is the visible image of the invisible God, the exact reproduction of the hypostasis of the Father. Now, as we continue in this passage, we note that the former things have come to pass. Now, ever since the beginning, God made this promise of the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. Ever since the beginning, the promise of Christ has been preached through the children of Adam and Eve. And now we're fulfilling the promises that were given to Adam, to Abraham, to David. They all come to fruition in the one born of Mary. And so new things are now being declared. These new things are a new life, a new testament, a new creation. Before, in the Old Testament, we only had shadows and types under Moses. But now we have the reality in Christ. As in John chapter 1, we are told, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For truth means the reality. He is what we have been waiting for. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So we're talking about the new life that Christ comes to bring. The restoration of the corrupted human nature. And we'll see this in a new covenant, a new testament. Remember, he is given as a covenant, that is a testament, when he sheds his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, of course, in this passage, as we declare that former things and the new thing that's to come, the Father says, before they spring forth, I will tell them. I will tell you of them. This is the mystery of the incarnation, proclaimed by the prophets and revealed by the apostles. And we see this in Zechariah chapter 6 in a very similar way, in which we are told, thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from this place, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh. So this language in the Hebrew, the springing forth, is the branching out. And it's the branch who comes to bring this new growth. This is all the pictures and the images of the incarnation. Now let's continue at verse 10 in Isaiah chapter 42. Sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities lift up their voices. The villages that Kedar inhabits, Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. As we see the connection between these verses, that we are told before these things branch out, before they happen, he's declaring new things to us. And the response is then a new song, that we sing Yahweh a new song, proclaiming who he is and what he has done, declaring new things, a new creation, new achievements, the restoration of fallen creation, a new deliverance, that is a new exodus, not from the slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt, but instead from slavery to sin, oppression of the devil and the power of death. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is something new, the removal of idolatry, that is, false worship, the conversion of the Gentiles. Those who were not God's people will become God's people. His praise will go forth from the end of the earth, the coastlands, out to the west, Kedar and Selah, out to the east. This is to include all places throughout the land. Now, in a similar way, we are taught to sing in Psalm 96. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Again, you see the continuity with this passage, that we are to sing this new song because he's doing new things with his servant that he has sent. And his glory will be declared among the nations. Now remember, he gives his glory to no one else, to no other thing, to no idol, to no false god. But he gives his glory to his son, that all would proclaim what he has done. Or again, in Psalm 98, we are taught to sing, oh, sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Yahweh has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Again, the new things require a new song. It's about the servant that is sent out, the one who is called in righteousness, and by the knowledge of him, the righteous servant, many will be declared righteous. Of course, in Psalm 98, look at how the passage teaches us about Christ. He is the holy arm who has worked salvation, and his salvation is to be known by the nations. That's why he is called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He is the glory of his people Israel and the light of the Gentiles. Later on in the book of Revelation, when John sees what Isaiah sees, John says this, they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Of course, this is Revelation chapter 5. They are singing a new song, a song about the Lamb, the servant that the Father has sent, the one upon whom he has placed the Holy Spirit, the one who came to die for us so that we could be brought to God. So we are to sing his praises from the ends of the earth, and not only in the land of Israel, but from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Now, as John saw what they were singing. Isaiah also saw what they were singing at the throne. Back in Isaiah chapter 6, when the prophet was placed into the prophetic office, he declares and says that one of the seraphim called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So again, this fulfillment is done in the sending out of the apostles and the conversion of the Gentiles so that the glory that the Father gives to the Son extends to the ends of the earth. And they no longer will sing their songs to their false gods, the idols, the images from the imagination of their corrupted human heart. And so now we are to sing this new song about the new things, the New Testament, the new life in Christ, the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth. And we are to shout from the top of the mountains. Well, this goes back to Isaiah chapter 40. Remember, they were told, "Go up onto a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. And lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Again, a herald of good news is the evangelist, the one who has the evangelical message, the gospel, the message of the cross, that Christ came to suffer, to die, to rise again, and to give to us his righteousness and his life. This is the sending out of the apostles, so that the glory is given to the Son, and now this glory extends to the ends of the earth. And in Isaiah chapter 42 at verse 12, we continue to hear, "Let them give glory to Yahweh and declare his praise in the coastlands." Again, the conversion of the Gentiles, no longer singing to their false gods, but singing a new song. The Lord declares, "I am Yahweh, and that is my name, and my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." Those who were blinded by the devil's darkness now can see. As we've talked many times before, there is a connection between spiritual seeing and physical seeing. And so in the miracles of Jesus, when he restores fallen creation, he returns sight to the blind. Physically, the man cannot see, but now he's able to see because of the word of Jesus. Likewise, spiritually, he could not see who Jesus was until his eyes are open spiritually. You'll see this in John chapter 9, in which the blind man, the one who was born blind from birth, when his physical eyes were opened so that he could see, the Pharisees, the teachers, the spiritual leaders said to him, "Give glory to God, for Jesus is a sinner." The spiritual leaders were declaring that Jesus had a demon. How far from the truth could they be? This is the one that we are assured has the Holy Spirit. This is the one who not only speaks the word of truth, but is the truth and gives the Spirit of truth. The devil is at work in the minds of the unbelievers, blinding them from the truth. But the Holy Spirit is at work in the believers, opening their eyes to see.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.